A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the ancient prophets arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a really important gospel today, as if there were any unimportant gospels. It's really important. It's the pivot point in all of the synoptic gospels. And it's Father's Day weekend.
Yay!
It's Father's Day weekend. And it's really hot outside. So if we put all those three things together, it seems only natural that we should talk about beer. Anybody here heard of the Schmaltz Brewing Company out of New York? No? They make gourmet kosher beers. I think Jesus might have approved. Their first product was called He-Brew. The Chosen Beer. Soon after that caught on, they came out with Messiah Bold, the beer you've been waiting for. And that brings us back to today's gospel. This is one of the scenes containing what is called by some the Messianic Secret. Now, Messianic Secret is a term that refers to moments when Jesus tells Peter and or other disciples to stay silent about their understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. That idea that Jesus would not want his disciples to speak of him to others was really confusing to me for a very long time. You see, my make a living, get paid to do this work in the world was in communications, in advertising and public relations and image making. And it just made no sense to me that Jesus would put a gag order on his own promotional staff. But I think I am slowly starting to get it. Now, Jesus does silently acknowledge his mission in these cases, but he also makes it very clear to his followers, yeah, I'm the one you've been waiting for, but I am not the one you expected. Jesus is telling Peter and the others, your view is very naive. You need to understand reality a lot better before you go public with your proclamations. Look where I'm going, he says. Luke records it this way: the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be killed, and on the third day, which is a phrase that means in God's good time, be raised. And Jesus tells them that their job is not to cheer him on or just speak well of him. It goes much deeper. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. If you want to arrive at my destination, you must share my journey. Walk with me. Serve with me. Walk with me. Serve with me every day. Your willingness to be my disciple must be as ever-present as your need for food, for bread. Take up your cross daily as you pray for your daily bread. Why do we keep repeating this story year after year, century after century? I know in my case, it's because I still don't get it, really. I still haven't made it the way that my life always works. Sometimes I get it a little bit in my head for a while. Some other times, far fewer times, I get it a little bit through my actions. And those are wonderful, deeply joyous times when I am in union with others in loving service. But I easily fall back into my selfishness or my fear. Sometimes I call it shyness and caution, but those are just more acceptable labels for selfishness and fear most of the time. But in those actions that actually follow Christ's example, however partially I might do that, and in those actions when we together as community truly follow him, however partially we do that, we have moments that can show us the unity of our daily bread and our daily cross, our service and our continued life. Three infants are going to come into this life through that font this weekend. We have Caden this afternoon. And what the three are coming into is the call to join that journey, sustained by the Holy Spirit, led by Jesus the Christ, into the unity of God. Our scriptures today give us important insights into the journey. Zechariah lets us know that grief and heartbreak, especially the heartbreak that comes when we ourselves, we know that we have contributed to tragedy in the world, this heartbreak, this grief, becomes the way that we can open ourselves to God's mercy. You see, divine mercy is always offered, but it is only accepted by those who know they need it. And then Paul is emphatic that once baptized, once we pass through that font, we must understand that there is to be no division left among us. Paul uses the terms slave and free, Jew and Greek, male and female, the most fundamental cleaving points that you could have back then. We could update them to citizen or undocumented migrant, to Christian or Muslim, to Republican or Democrat or whatever else is out there. We have an endless list of divisions now. You could spend the afternoon just reading the list. Paul is telling us that none of them really matter in our living out our baptismal call. And then our gospel scene ends with Jesus turning my fear and selfishness completely upside down. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Another one of those lines that troubled me for years. Mary McGlone is a sister of St. Joseph of Carondelet. She's a theologian, a historian, and she explains this line really beautifully. She suggests that what it is doing is inviting us to be more faithful to, more trusting in Jesus' example than in our own plans. She writes, "We'll lose our lives chasing our own expectations instead of receiving what God offers by clothing us in Christ." This weekend, right here, Caden, Gabriel, and Samuel will be clothed in Christ for the first time. And in a few minutes, we can all join in our communion procession, be fed by Christ, to once again take our baptism out into the world, truly living our life to the fullest.